C1S, number 2B.
Well, that brings me to the question of what then is the difference between metaphysics and science. Metaphysics is a term that comes from the Greek, and it is derived either from meta da physica, which means after physics, because the first Greek philosopher who wrote, who coined that word, wrote a book on physics, and then he had after that part, the second part, which dealt with things which are after physics, with the spiritual things, with the mental things. And from that point on, metaphysics was called all that which was above physics. Or it is also from the Greek meta and physikos, which means that which is beyond that which relates to the external nature, therefore to the supernatural, as they would call, we would call it, to the mental, the non-material. Let's say to the non-material. So metaphysics is that which is above physics. And that's the way how Mrs. Eddy uses the term over and over in her textbook. That metaphysics is above physics, that it challenges physics, and so on. But metaphysics alone isn't yet science, and isn't yet Christian science. Because we can have metaphysics in unchristian ways. Metaphysics is not necessarily united with Christian idealism. It is just saying that there is a realm which is above the physical realm, and mostly saying that that realm which is above the physical is really above it, meaning controlling the physical and having control over it. So any form, say, of philosophy which has in view that the mental conditions affect the body is purely metaphysical, ordinary metaphysics. All that which states that fear can kill a man is a point in metaphysics, he says. Or that mortal mind affects the body is a point in metaphysics. But that's something which is shared by many, many people and by many, many denominations. And so is the practice of metaphysics. Even mesmerism can be called metaphysics because it's above physics. It relies on the use of mental means, of mental elements. So that even malpractice can be called metaphysics. She says, willing the sick to recover is not the metaphysical practice of Christian Science. She makes the difference between the metaphysics of Christian Science and ordinary metaphysical practice. And so we see that metaphysics is not something that is uniquely related to Christian Science. What Mrs. Eddy did was really to lift metaphysics above the ordinary level of just being that mental realm which is above the physical realm, and join it to God. And then she calls it mostly divine metaphysics. When you take all the references in the textbook and so on, most statements which speak about divine metaphysics is always related either to the term God or to a synonymous term. For instance, she says, Christian Science is the unfolding of true metaphysics. See, she takes metaphysics and says, I'm going to unfold it And the true unfoldment of metaphysics is then called Christian Science, that is, of mind, or God and his attributes. For she says, divine metaphysics is that which treats of the existence of God. See, she links it with God. It's not that which treats with the mental realm, but it lifts it to and joins it with mind or God. Therefore, the principle of divine metaphysics is God, she says. And these are all passages now out of the sixth chapter, which is under our consideration. You see, in this sixth chapter, she begins to show what true metaphysics is, namely divine metaphysics. She says, works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the power of mind, capitalized, as the Messiah. Everyday metaphysics doesn't crown the power of mind as the Messiah. Ordinary metaphysics crowns the human mind, or even mortal mind, any mental state as the ruling factor. Therefore, while metaphysics alone is just that which is above matter, divine metaphysics is that which excludes matter, goes a step further. She says, matter examined in the line of divine metaphysics disappears. In ordinary metaphysics, you always have the two. Matter and mind, small m, the mental. Divine metaphysics explains away matter. So you can see her concept of metaphysics is a much higher sense, namely that metaphysics which is wedded to God mind. Yes. Then, when we have seen that, we can go still a step further and can see that these ideas, which are ideas of God, have a system, operate according to law. And so she speaks about scientific metaphysics, or the science of metaphysics. And so at that point she builds the bridge from divine metaphysics over the bridge of science to science itself. Now this is a development which is not quite unique, I would say, to our present development, because when one reads what's going on in other lines of thought and metaphysical lines, one sees that in the last 10-15 years this tendency to get away from metaphysics is quite marked. Mr. Dawley showed us in 49 that we have to make that step from metaphysics to science. Well, many of you perhaps know the writings of Joel Goldsmith, who also, only a few years ago, began to show his students that he got the word, as he said, in 1963, to lead the students out of metaphysics into mysticism, not into science. See, into mysticism. Now, fundamentally, he has seen or felt something right. He has fundamentally seen that the metaphysical practice has to be lifted to a sense of the oneness of being. But he hasn't seen the science of the oneness. And therefore, really, when we have a method to commune with the oneness of being without science, then we have pure mysticism. Because the true sense, the purer sense, the higher definition of mysticism is, say, from Webster, the doctrine or belief that direct knowledge of God, direct knowledge of God, you see, you also get it from God, or spiritual truth of ultimate reality, etc., is attainable through immediate intuition, insight, or illumination, and in a way differing from ordinary sense perception or ratiocination. All right, now we get it, huh? Apparently it's a word which is not very well known in English either. A beautiful word, ratiocination, you see, means a logical deduction from a principle. So you see, John Dawley saw that the ultimate is the oneness of being. Others, like Goldsmith and so, see that too. That the ultimate is the oneness of being, that there is nothing going on but the one being. But whereas John Dawley and Christian Science shows that there is a scientific way to the standpoint of the oneness of being, mysticism doesn't show a scientific way. Mysticism shows the way through meditation, intuition, and so on. So we begin to realize, and we'll see that very clearly, why Mrs. Eddy was able to see the science of Christian Science, because she could see the way leading to the sixth chapter. The way, the scientific way, through prayer, through atonement and Eucharist, and marriage, and spiritualism, and animal magnetism, to the realization that there is only one being. Let us just see a few differences between metaphysics and science. So I just take at random a few points just to make it clearer and clearer. Because if I can do that, we can easily get the feel of the sixth chapter. In metaphysics, as we have seen in the time of Kimball, we reason from matter to idea. They were reasoning from matter to idea. What is the idea of a table? What is the idea of a lung? What is the idea of the heart? What is the idea of foot? And so on. They took matter, a material object, asking to see the idea. Whereas in science, you reason from the one divine principle, which can be understood through its idea. Quite a different proposition. That's really ratiocination, or whatever that word is. In metaphysics, you see, we are thinking in terms of ideas. In science, mind knows. But mind knows ideas. Mind doesn't think. God doesn't think. Mind knows. In metaphysics, man thinks about ideas. In science, God knows man as idea. Or man is known by God. In metaphysics, we seek for ideas, but when we touch mind, mind gives us the idea. Mind gives us his idea. In metaphysics, we identify ourselves with ideas. In science, God identifies us. Always you're going out from science. God identifies us. In metaphysics, we try to work out a problem. In science, we see that there is no problem, because science has no problem. Mathematics has no problem. In metaphysics, we go the way. In science, we are the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." In metaphysics, we try to live the right in opposition to the wrong. In science, it's all isness, which has no sense of opposite. The infinite principle has no sense of an opposite. But from the metaphysical standpoint, we have that distinguishing between the opposites. Metaphysics is like a window pane, which is either clear and clean or dirty. But the light shining through it is science. In metaphysics, we try to acquire the letter of being. In science, we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is the spirit. And that spirit is the letter, the scientific letter. In metaphysics, the letter is learning the letter. In science, the letter is the spirit of the Christ mind. In metaphysics, we are engaged in resolving constantly things into thoughts. In science, she says, we rise above matter and exclude matter, the physical. In metaphysics, thoughts are operative. In science, ideas are operative. I would say, in metaphysics, we try to add facts to facts to facts. Whereas in science, there is no addition, there is oneness, multiplication. In metaphysics, we try to apply the various truths and have the truthful arguments. In science, we don't apply truth, but truth is self-applicable, self-realization, self-operative. One of the main differences between metaphysics, divine metaphysics on one side, and science on the other side, is that Mrs. Eddy would never say that metaphysics or divine metaphysics reveals anything, or gives birth to anything, or interprets anything. It's always science. Science reveals, divine science reveals, through idea reveals, science reveals. And anyone who has been working any line of science knows that true science reveals. It reveals new insight into the subject. If we consider the difference of metaphysics and science in regard to healing, then we come to very distinct methods. In metaphysics, you can go on and on with affirmations and denials, affirming truth, denying error. Science doesn't do that, because science knows no opposite. What science does is that mind is conscious of itself and only of itself and of its own realization of itself. In metaphysics, we start out from a problem which we want to heal. In science, we start out from the principle of being, from mind being conscious of its perfection, not knowing anything about the case. In metaphysics, we have the practitioner and the patient. In science, we put away the practitioner and the patient. As long as we are treating a patient in metaphysics or a case in metaphysics, then we try to find the truthful argument and reason from the human basis, from the case. Whereas in science, we are not asking what is the trouble, but in science we go out from mind reading, from divine mind reading, and divine mind letting us reveal what needs to be revealed, and letting be discovered to discern the error which needs to be destroyed. Whereas the metaphysical way is to take the argument as if the argument would be right, and then, as if the argument would be the fact, and then see the truth about it. And so, reasoning from an argument, whereas science reasons from mind, and let mind discover the situation. Let's say somebody comes along and says, I have a heart disease. Well, the metaphysician may treat it and say, what can he say? He says, well, there is the right idea of action and power and of love, and he may treat it on that way because heart is a symbol of love, and because the heart doesn't beat properly and regularly and so on, he takes the argument of the heart, what the light tells him, and treats it through the opposite truth. But the governing error may be something very, very, very different than false action or irregular action or weakness of action or anything like that. The divine mind may reveal something of a broken relationship or of a disheartening relationship or of anything like that, which is quite something different. Science really is that which can actually uncover the governing error, whereas with a purely metaphysical treatment, we go out from an error and try to reach the truth. In metaphysics, the treatment is always mind over matter, to demonstrate physical harmony, a harmonious mortal. In science, it is not mind over matter, because science does not know anything but its own idea. So the treatment there is that mind knows its own genesis of ideas, and therefore what mind demonstrates is spiritual harmony and not physical harmony. Therefore what mind demonstrates is not a harmonious mortal, but the immortal man of God's likeness. So you see that in metaphysics, and that you can see very often with Christian scientists of old standing, that after 20, 30, 40, 50 years of arguing for the truth, denying error, that they come to the point where they come to you and say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. The metaphysics tires us out. Science not. Science is just the other way around. If we live and treat in the realm of science, and it's always the renewing, the freshness of science, always science, because science has no opposite. You have no friction with the opposite. You can't be tired by beating against the opposite, against an enemy, against. You have no against, so you can't tire out. It's seeing its own idea, dwelling its own idea, loving its own idea. That's what mind does, that's what God does. Therefore it gives us more rest instead of getting more and more tired. Metaphysics is trying to apply truth in order to demonstrate a phenomenal exhibition. Whereas Mr. Zeddy says in this sixth chapter that truth demonstrates an imminent eternal science. See, metaphysics is engaged in trying to bring forth phenomenal exhibitions. Science isn't built that way. Science is an imminent eternal science, and science brings out science. Science brings out more science, more laws of science, deeper insight in science, and is not in the first place engaged in phenomenal exhibitions. For instance, as long as we treat the patient on the plane of metaphysics, therefore on the mental plane, she says, we have to take into account the mind surrounding your patient, and you should act against their influence. Not so in science. She says, but when actually you see the whole case in science, then your mind can remove any obstacle. Because mind doesn't know if there is just the patient's mind that is thinking wrong, or there is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 100,000 other minds thinking wrong. Because mind only knows mind. And that's science. And therefore isn't afraid if there is 1 or 1,000 minds, small m, against it. They may fall by the 1,000 on one side and by the 10,000 on the other side. If we stay with one mind, we have one mind. And that's science. Well, that brings me to the end of this, and we gather again in about an hour.